ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 17 टेक्स्ट नंबर 20। अशौचमन्त्रितं स्थेयम् नास्तिक्यं शुष्कविग्रहा कामक्रोधश्च तर्षश्च स्वभावोऽन्त्यवसायिनाम् अशौचमन्त्रितं स्थेयम् नास्तिक्यं शुष्कविग्रहा कामक्रोधश्च तर्षश्च स्वभावोऽन्त्यवसायिनाम् अशौचमन्त्रितं स्थेयम् नास्तिक्यं शुष्कविग्रहा कामक्रोधश्च तर्षश्च स्वभावोऽन्त्यवसायिनाम् अशौचम् डर्टीनेस् अनृतम् डिसऑनेस्टी स्थेयम् थीवरी नास्तिक्यम् फेथलेसनेस् शुष्कविग्रहा यूजलेस क्वारलिंग कामः लस्ट क्रोधः एंगर च ऑल्सो तर्षः हैंकरिंग च ऑल्सो सः दिस भावः द नेचर अन्त्य इन द लोएस्ट पोजिशन अवसायिनाम ऑफ दोज रिजाइडिंग। ट्रांसलेशन डर्टीनेस Dishonesty, thievery, faithlessness, useless quarrel, lust, anger, and hankering constitute the nature of those in the lowest position outside the Varnashrama system. Please repeat. Dirtiness, dishonesty, thievery, faithlessness, useless quarrel, lust, anger, and hankering constitute the nature of those in the lowest position outside the Varnashram system. Purport. Here the Lord describes those who reside outside the scientific social system called Varnashrama. In Europe and America, we have practically observed that the standards of cleanliness are abominable even among so-called educated persons. Going without bathing and the use of indecent language are common. In the modern age, people whimsically speak whatever they like, dispensing with all authority. And there is therefore very little truthfulness or true wisdom. Similarly, in both the capitalist and communistic countries, everyone is busily engaged in stealing and robbing from everyone else. In the name of business, taxation, or outright crime. People are not confident of the kingdom of God, nor of their own eternal nature, and thus their faith is very weak. Moreover, since modern human beings are not very interested in Krishna consciousness, they constantly quarrel, bicker, and fight over completely insignificant issues relating to the material body. Thus, at the slightest provocation, there are huge wars and massacres. Lust, anger, and hankering have become practically unlimited in Kali Yuga. The symptoms and characteristics mentioned here can be abundantly observed throughout the world wherever people have fallen away from the Varnashram system. Because of sinful habits such as animal killing, illicit sex, intoxication, and gambling, the great majority of human beings have become chandalas or untouchables. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yanatasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manubhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Dadati Swapadantikam. So, this is the description of Kali Yuga people in general, and especially a class of people that are described here. So before we go into the detail, I'll describe a little bit about the background. What is this verse? What is the background of this verse? Because Lord Krishna here in this chapter addressing a very important issue that applies to the whole human society. Human society, how it can function properly, harmoniously, peacefully, happily. That is the secret he is revealing here to Uddhava, because Uddhava has asked a question and Lord Krishna is answering his question. And this system is the divisions, the social divisions and the religious or spiritual divisions. What are the social divisions? Starts with the intellectual class. The first division is the intellectual professors and teachers, gurus, etc. The people who are more interested in the mode of goodness activities. Then there is the next division is the people who are inclined to go into administrative skills, administration and military arts, kshatriyas. And then comes the division of the people who are inclined to make money, business, trading, banking, etc., vaishyas. And those who are not inclined to do any of these three things, they go for the services of the human society. Engineers, carpenters, and everybody who wants to perform some service to the society. So, these are the natural divisions. So Lord Krishna, he has rejected the caste system. In Bhagavad Gita, he said, guna karma vibhagasha. Not according to birth, not janma karma vibhagasha. He said, guna karma, guna and karma. What activity you want to perform, what you like to do? What is your natural inclination? What is your psychophysical nature? Accordingly, you will select a profession. And according to your profession, you are in a particular division in social status. So that is Lord Krishna's arrangement, solution for upliftment for everyone, unto the last, even the last person. So somebody can say, who is the last person in the society? The worker class, are they the last? So Lord Krishna says in this verse, no, they are not the last. Who are those people who are at the end of the rope? They are described here in this particular verse as antya vasayinam. Antya means end. They are at the end. And what is their specific quality? Ashaucham. They are very dirty people. Anritam, they always lie. Steyam. If you're not watching them, they will steal something from you. Nastikyam. Astikyam means I have firm faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. And Nastikyam means I have no faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. So these are Nastikyam means they have no faith whatsoever. Shushka Vigraha, always quarreling. Kama Krodat. They are always harassed by lust, anger, greed. Tarsha. Full of lusty desires, material desires, etc. So bhava. This is their bhava. This is their mentality. They are always absorbed in these activities and these ideas. So, for everyone, the solution is there. Lord Krishna, He is Jagad Hitaya Krishnaya Govindaya Namo Nama. Namo Brahmande Devaya Go Brahmanitaya Jagad Hitaya. Lord Krishna, He wants to benefit everyone, to take care of everyone, to deliver everyone. He wants everyone to become happy. So therefore, He has created this system. And those are the fortunate people who take advantage of this system. Whatever is your proclivity, whatever is your interest, whatever is your desire to function in the society, whatever you want to do, accordingly you can select your profession. So the solution is there for everyone. But these people, where are they that are described in this verse? If you go outside, you see the billboards. What do you see? Some person is smoking cigarette or somebody is inviting you to drink alcohol, etc., etc. The billboards are the reflection of the society. Does that mean that the whole society is going down the drain? Bhagavatam says, unfortunately, Kale dosha nide rajan. Kali Yuga is ocean of dosha. Everybody is trapped in this ocean of faults. You know the ocean, if you go to the beach, you look at the ocean. I saw one video. People are having nice time on the beach. And suddenly they see that the ocean is withdrawing, the water is emptying out, it's like somebody is emptying out the water. And there is a deep land, you can see deeper and deeper. And it goes, all the water is going inside the ocean, far, far away. And people are very curious, we have never seen this here, we come here every day. What is going on? It's like a reverse tide, but an enormous amount of reverse tide. And one guy, he had an idea. He started screaming. He said, run, 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 run for your life. And he started running, and everybody started running away from the ocean, away from the beach. Everybody's running full speed. They're trying to go uphill. You know, there is a hill. Like if you go to Laguna Temple, Laguna Beach Temple, you know, the temple is right near the ocean, right? Beach. And if you go away towards the town, then you have to go uphill, climb the hill gradually. So people are running like crazy because after this reverse tide, there's a big mountain of water coming towards them. And everybody is trying to get away, run for their life. But the water is so fast and furious, it catches up. And the 50-story, 60-story buildings are toppled over with the water wave. The tsunami wave hits the land and it just rushes inside the town. And everything is toppled. And people are screaming and running for their life, but they are all submerged inside the water, drowning. Big tsunami wave. So this is the dosha nidhi, kale dosha nidhe rajan. My dear king, Kali Yuga, don't take it lightly. This is an ocean of problems and suffering. You haven't seen anything yet. That is the warning of Kali Yuga. You may think, I've seen everything, all the bad things. I know bad people, I've seen bad things. Bhagavatam is warning, you haven't seen anything yet. So, why is this the situation? Kali Yuga, why it takes away all the good qualities and fills up the person with all the bad qualities that are described here? Like, what was it? Ashauchama nritam stayam, etc. So what are the good qualities? What are the shaucham? Pavitra. Shaucham means cleanliness. As soon as you get up, you become clean by taking bath, clean your teeth, etc. You clean your body, you clean your consciousness, clean your heart, clean your mind. Everything crystal clear, clean. So that is the quality of the Brahman or the devotee. Devotee is automatically Brahman. Brahmanical qualities automatically come running inside the heart of the devotee and they reside in the heart of the devotee. So, the first quality is shaucham, cleanliness, satyam, truthfulness. A Brahminical person is always truthful. Satyam param dhimahi. My dear Lord Krishna, you are the Supreme Absolute Truth. Because he is dedicated to the Supreme Absolute Truth, and he knows that he is himself. Eternal servant of Krishna, Jive Swarupoi Krishna Nitya Das. He is spirit soul, he is eternal servant of Krishna. He is eternally connected with Krishna through service, by performing loving devotional service. So this keeps him always on the basis of satyam, truthfulness. Ahinsa, non-violence, astikyam, having complete and full faith, completely depending on the mercy of the Lord. Then, kripa, shali, he is himself very merciful to all the living entities. He does not want to harass anyone, torture anyone, neither he wants to kill anyone. Ahinsa. And he's interested in helping everyone. uplifting everyone, the standard of life. So these are some of the qualities of the very good, nice person, gentleman, devotee person. Tolerance, Sahishnu. He is very tolerant in spite of looking at the Kali Yuga bad qualities. He does not lose his enthusiasm to help others. As he sees the situation is becoming darker and darker, the situation is becoming more and more challenging, he gets more and more fired up. He wants to help more and more. This is the main teaching of Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna. He is telling Arjuna. Bhagavad Gita is the greatest motivational book, inspirational book, that even if somebody is suicidal or depressed, if he picks up Bhagavad Gita, starts reading, immediately he can come out of his lower qualities, his suicidal ideas, depression, etc., and become fired up to take up the cause to uplift the humanity. He can become the leader of the society. This is the quality of Bhagavad Gita. It is the greatest motivational literature. That's why we see Bhagavad Gita as it is being distributed all over the world by the devotees of ISKCON society. And hundreds and thousands of people are able to take advantage of this Bhagavad Gita. Shri Shri Radha Kalachanji Bhagwan ki. Yeah. So, even though Kali Yuga is presenting all these challenges that are described here in this verse for people. And Lord Krishna in 16th chapter also says, Kama Krodha Tatha Lobha Trividam Narakasyedam Dwaram Nashanam Atmana. What is going to destroy you, destroy your soul, wholesale, killer? Trividam, three kind of gate, big gate to hell, is made of kama, krodha and lobha, lust, anger and greed. Tasmad sadatyajit, therefore you always stay away from these three things. Krishna is advising Arjuna and to all of us, sadatyajit, give it up. Don't even go near these three enemies of mankind, kama, krodha, Tatha lobha, lust, anger, greed. So what do you do then? Yajna, dana, tatha, tapa. Perform yajna. What is a yajna? Devotees know, sankirtan yajna. In Kali Yuga, even though Kali Yuga is ocean of faults, Kali doshani there. Kirtana deva krishnasya mukta sangha param rajit. Simply by performing Krishna Kirtan, Kirtanad Eva, Eva means only. Nothing else will work in Kali Yuga. It's very dark age. You can try anything else, it will not work. Therefore, Bhagavatam says, Kirtanad Eva Krishnasya Mukta Sangha. You can become completely free from not only Kali Yuga qualities, but you can become free from even Dwapar Yuga, Treta Yuga, Satya Yuga, all different Yuga qualities, and you can become completely transcendental. Mukta Sangha. You can go back to Godhead, you can be with Krishna. You can be like Krishna. You can become the real servant, the real associate, real friend of Krishna. So that is the promise of Srimad Bhagavatam. Hare Nam, Hare Nam, Hare Nam, Eva Kevalam. Only, eva means only. There is no other way. Kalau nasteva, nasteva, nasteva gati anyata. There is no other way, three times confirmed. Only Hare Krishna Kirtan is the solution. So that is yajna and dana. Dana, specifically charitable nature, is the quality of the three divisions, the Brahman, Kshatriya and Vaishyas. यजन याजन पठन पाठन दान प्रतिग्रह. Brahminical person means Lord Krishna is describing the qualities in Bhagavad Gita, yajan yajan. He is always performing sankirtan yajna and he is helping others also for sankirtan. Patan patan, he is always reading Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, and he is teaching Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. Dana pratigraha, and he is accepting charity and he is giving charity. These are the six qualities of Brahminical personality. And Vaishya and Kshatriyas, they are also, they have dana, charity, charitable nature. If the Kshatriya or Vaishya gives up dana and also Grihasthas, Grihasthas means householders. If the householders give up the charitable nature and they become conjuice or miserly person, if the Kshatriya becomes a miserly person or a Vaishya becomes a miserly, immediately he loses his good qualities. And he will no longer can remain in that status. So, it is a requirement for these people in the society who have higher responsibility to maintain good qualities. So Lord Krishna, he is mentioning several times, and he says, these are the qualities of the people by which you can identify that they are better, they have developed better quality. They are trying to improve the quality of life. And charitable nature is one of them. Yajna, dana, tapa. Tapa is austerity. Also austerity is required to become highly qualified. So, Lord Krishna is explaining in detail how to uplift the whole society, and even those people who are at the end of the rope, not just the higher class or the intellectual class of people, or the administrators, or the kings, or the royalties, or the politicians, etc. Not just these kind of people, but everyone. How they can be elevated. So that is why he has established this particular system, Varna and Ashrama. The only thing one has to learn is, because all these good qualities, Brahminical qualities, can come by one thing, and that is devotional service to Lord Sri Krishna. And how one can perform loving devotional service to Lord Krishna? Krishna says, Tat viddhi paripatena pariprasyana sevaya. Upadeshanti te jnanam jnanina tattva darshina. One must go and approach a bona fide spiritual master, offer his obeisances, completely surrender and take shelter at his lotus feet. Ask him the question, how may I serve you, my dear spiritual master? How I can be your eternal servant? So, the spiritual master, he upadekshanti te jnanam, he becomes very happy with the disciple and he gives him the real knowledge. How to realize the Param Brahma, Param Dhamma Pavitram Paramam Bhavan, how to realize the Supreme Absolute Truth. That knowledge comes from the spiritual master who is coming in the disciplic succession of Lord Sri Krishna. So, somebody can ask then, what do I have to please the spiritual master? What do I have to do to make Krishna happy? Do I need a lot of money to make Krishna happy? If I am a rich man, then I can give so much money to Krishna, then he will be happy. No, doesn't work like that. Krishna is not discriminating whether you are rich or poor. He says, you want to make me happy? Patram pushpam phalam toyam yomi bhaktya prayachati. One time in Dwarka, on one side there was the whole treasure, all the expensive jewels, ornaments, everything was put on the scale. And on the other side was just one tulsi leaf was put. And the one tulsi leaf became heavier than all the wealth that was put on the scale. Why? Because tulsi dala matrena. Just by offering one tulsi patra, one tulsi leaf, you can make Krishna very happy. So Krishna is saying, with loving devotional service, you offer me simple items like water, tulsi leaf, patra pushpa, vegetables, fruit, anything, whatever you like, you can offer me. Not non-vegetarian. But only the good nutritious items, grains, vegetables, etc. And it can be as simple as possible, and still Krishna is happy. One time, there was one poor couple, and the children are also hungry. The mother is thinking, my husband, he's a poor man, we are a poor family, we have nothing. The children are malnourished. There's not enough food to eat. So she mentioned to her husband that, my dear husband, we have this. I don't mind staying hungry, but look at our children. They are like sticks. Can't you do something? So the husband said, yes, I remember. Good, you told me. I have a friend who is a very rich man. We can go to him. And he can solve our problem. So they started walking, the family. The man took the family all the way to Jagannath Puri. And at the gate, they were stopped by the guards. The guards wouldn't allow them to go inside for darshan of Lord Jagannath. The guards thought, these people, they don't belong inside the temple. Chokidar. So they had no choice. So they, on the sidewalk near the gate, main gate, they lie down, tired and hungry, trying to go to sleep. In the middle of the night, Lord Jagannath came in the form of a Brahman, saintly personality, with a plate of prasadam, the evening offering, the very, very nice offering that was made to Lord Jagannath on the gold plates. He just came with a gold plate and he woke up the family, the poor couple family. And he said, I have brought this prasadam, Lord's prasadam for you. Please take it. So the people, poor people, got up. They ate very sumptuously. They looked around. The man was gone. The saintly person wasn't there. So they put the plate away, the cup and plate and everything away on the side, and they went back to sleep. They were very happy. Before that, before going to sleep, they had only drank the water that was running out of the Lord Jagannath temples. You know, after bathing the Lord Jagannath and all that water that comes out of the Nali, they drank the water and they had gone to sleep. And now Lord Jagannath gave them himself a very sumptuous prasadam, mahaprasadam. So they went back to sleep. In the morning, the pujaris noticed the gold plate of Lord Jagannath is gone. Somebody stole. So all the guards and chokidars and policemen and soldiers, they're looking everywhere. Finally, they found this couple lying down. Uh-oh, the gold plate is here. Let's take the thief to the king. So the family was brought to the king. The king punished them, put them in jail, prison, imprisoned them. The next day night, Lord Jagannath came in the dream of the king. And Lord Jagannath said, "My dear king, if you have some nice guest at your house, and I harass them and torture them, what would you think?" So the king said, "My dear Lord, you would never do that. Why would you do that?" So Lord Jagannath said, "You did that to me. I had my guest over here and you put them in the prison. Why did you do it? They are my dear devotees. Release them immediately and give half of your kingdom. This is your punishment." The king said, "I will take any punishment. I have made the offense at your devotees. Please tell me, Lord." So he said, "Release them immediately and give them half of the kingdom." So this couple, they were given the half of the kingdom. The man was made the king of half of the kingdom. This is the history that Lord Jagannath, how kind and merciful he is for everyone. He doesn't care how much rich or poor you are. The man said, "I know, I have a friend, he's very rich and he'll take care of us." And he came with that, he brought his family and he was mistreated. And Lord Jagannath did not allow that. So, therefore, even in the dark age of Kali Yuga, there is a lot of hope. Why? Because the solution is there if someone wants the solution. One time, Lord Shiva and Mother Parvati, they're walking, they're looking, they're checking how is the situation with people. Sometimes, so they're dressed up in ordinary people's dress. They are not coming as Lord Shiva and Parvati, but they look like somebody from here. And as they're walking on the sidewalk, there is a poor man, a beggar is sitting. And Mother Parvati looks at the beggar from a distance and she says to Shiva, "My dear Lord, please, can you help this beggar? Look at him. He has nothing on his name. The poor fellow is suffering so much. Give him something nice." So Lord Shiva said, "Yes, that is very good. I can give him so much, but unfortunately he doesn't have it in his luck." So Mother Parvati said, no. She's a very kind lady. She said, "No, please give him." So Lord Shiva finally agreed. He said, "Okay." So he brought a watermelon in his hand, and inside the watermelon he put all the most precious jewels of the world inside the watermelon, and he gave the watermelon to the beggar. Why? Because if he gives openly, then people will attack him and steal all the jewels from him. So he wanted to make sure that the beggar, nobody can steal from him. So he will take the watermelon home, he will cut it open and he'll find all the jewels. He'll be the happiest person, the richest person in the world. That was the idea. Then they started walking. As Shiva and Parvati walking, Lord Shiva noticed something. He said, "See, look, I told you." So Parvati said, "What?" He said, "Look at the guy." The beggar went to the shopkeeper and he said, "Take this watermelon. These people, stupid people, somebody gave me this watermelon. What do I do with it? Take it. Give me something." So the shopkeeper gave 2 rupees to the beggar and he lost his watermelon. He lost all his jewels. So Lord Shiva said, "Parvati, look what I told you. He does not have it in his luck. So this is the situation with Kali Yuga people. Because Anarpita Charim Chirat Karunaya Avatirna Kalau in Kali Yuga, the Lord and all his incarnation, they never gave the most precious jewel to anyone. But after a long, long time, he came in his form as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he is giving this most precious jewel, Anarpita Charim Chirat Karunaya, out of his kindness, mercifulness, munificent nature. Samarpaitum unnata ujjvala rasa sa bhakti shriyam hari purara sundar dyuti kadamba sandipita sada hridaya kandare spuratu sachinandana. Sachinandana, he is offering this greatest gift and blessings to everyone, whoever wants it. So if you get the watermelon, don't try to sell it. Keep it with you because there are jewels inside. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is also like that. He secretly gives the most precious treasure to the devotee. Whoever goes to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he gives him this. Some people they realize, some people they don't realize. But he is ready to give to everyone. So this is the blessing of Kali Yuga. Even though Kali Yuga may have problems, but the greatest blessings are also there. And the person has to be intelligent enough to take that blessing, secure it, and keep it always with him as the most precious gift, as the most precious jewel. Thank you very much. I will stop here. If you have any questions or comments, please. You have microphone, Prabhu? Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. So, our dear Prabhuji here, the other day,
yes,
he was sitting on this seat giving the discussion, but he introduced his talk by announcing to the unseen people who might be listening, my dear Prabhujis, will you please, will you come to the temple? I'm much more lively when I can see you.
Yes.
So that got me thinking once again that what are we doing wrong that we're not, our own people are losing their interest.
Why our own people are not coming here? Our dear Prabhu is requesting, announcing on a microphone, all wonderful devotees, please come and run to the temple. Have the darshan of the deities, etc. Why the devotees are not coming? So, our dear Prabhu can better answer this question actually. Because he was asking everybody. Would you like to throw some light on it, Prabhu?
For me, it's, you know, here's an opportunity. Especially if you live close by to the temple, to have darshan of the Lord, you know, and it's so much different than if you watch him on the TV screen than to see him live here and to attend Guru Puja and to have kirtan together. And for us, for those who are attending, it would be so much more fun if more devotees would be attending, because it's different if there's only 3 or if there's 10 or 20 or 30. And like that. And then afterwards you get some Mahaprasadam. So all these things will purify your soul and you will give pleasure to the other devotees, Sadhu Sangha. And this way you purify yourself each day and, You will become happy yourself and you will make the other devotees happy.
Very nice. Thank you. Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha. Sarva Siddhi Hoy. Lava Matra Sadhu Sangha. Sarva Siddhi Hoy. So, Sadhu Sangha is the most important item in the performance of devotional service, as Prabhuji said. And the best opportunity is in the temple room for Sadhu Sangha. There is no other better place. Naturally. I remember in the old days, I was in Grihastha life. We used to get up early in the morning, 3 o'clock, run to the temple, drive to the temple. The temple was about maybe 10 miles away, not very far. So every day morning, Mangal Aarti, we have to be there before the Mangal Aarti starts, 4:15, those days. I was in Chicago. And if you go at 4:16, the doors are locked and there's no way you can go inside the temple. You miss the Mangal Aarti. So we have to, they had this because of some, I don't know, they wanted to secure the building and everything. So when all the devotees are performing Mangal Aarti, they want to make sure that the doors are locked up. So we have to make sure. So every day morning we're running, just make sure that we're there at latest by 4:10, 10 minutes after 4, because 5 minutes you have to leave, you know. So that was our routine for a long time. And we stayed for a whole morning program up to all the way, took prasadam and then went back. And then I had to go to my practice, to my clinic. So that was the program. For many, many years we were doing that. And because of that, the children, they got the maximum benefit because they were born and raised in the movement. And because they always attended Mangal Aarti and the whole morning program, they became good devotees. So they were getting the Sadhu Sangha from the very early life because of attending the classes, Bhagavatam classes, etc. Kirtans. So they started performing Kirtan and they started also Bhagavatam classes because from naturally what they have learned from their very birth. So this is the greatest blessing not only for the devotee couple but for their children if they attend the Bhagavatam class. Because children, they usually do what the parents, they watch, they see the parents doing. If the parents tell anything to children, they're not going to listen to it. They're not going to do it, whatever you tell them. But they're watching you. They will do what exactly you are doing. So, therefore, it was a system. Prabhupada established this system, Bhakti Yoga system, that the whole morning program is mandatory for every devotee. Now, the situation is that we can come up with any kind of excuses. We can come up with number of excuses. Everybody has a reason why he can or he can't. So now there is Varnashram. Lord Krishna is describing Varnashram. So many devotees, they have such busy schedule that they have to very hurriedly perform the morning Bhakti Yoga program and run to their job, whatever job they have to do, they have to run. So because of this hurry and urgency to go to the job, they may not be able to come to the temple or bring their family to the temple to participate, but at least they are listening on the phone or on the computer. That is good. It's very good. Varnashram system. Plus technology. Technology is helping them to at least have hearing. If they concentrate, focus on hearing and hear the whole kirtan, hear the class, participate like that, it's still good. That is my humble opinion. But of course the best thing is to be in the temple. Yes. Yes, Prabhu. Thank you very much. Anything else? Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you for coming and giving class this morning. My question has to do with the perfection of life. See, one of the things that draws me away from Krishna consciousness is I don't feel like I'm going to attain, you know, my desire or my idea of what perfection is. Like, you know, they have a nice family and nice children, good bank balance, nice car, all these things. You know, and so I'm thinking, this is my perfection. So when, you know, because of that, I deprioritize practicing spiritual life. So my question to you is, what is the perfection? You know, in other words, why are we doing all of this? Why are you expecting us to spend, you know, 8 hours every morning in the temple and another 2 hours at night and giving all of our money and doing all these things? What perfection are we actually gaining? I mean, what is it that you're expecting us to, you know, embrace, to give up everything that we're working for and do what you're saying?
Well, as a grihastha, you are completely correct. You are right. If that is your goal in life, to make your family happy, to raise the children in Krishna consciousness, then you are right. You are correct. And you are charitable. You mentioned, I'm very charitable. I give lots of money to the temple, to the right cause. I may be giving a lot of money for book distribution or for Janmashtami festival or for, you know, any of the projects, temple projects, etc. So as a grihastha, you are performing your duties very perfectly. You are listening to the classes, you are listening to the kirtans, you are coming to the festivals, you are participating in your capacity, and you are trying to make your family Krishna conscious with you, taking your family along with, so you're doing a very good job. There's nothing wrong with it. But Prabhupada, of course, he expected more from us, from devotees. He wanted every devotee to be a leader of the society, develop his best qualities, his brahminical qualities. And therefore he established the morning program that starts at 4:15 or 4:30 in the morning and goes on till about 9 o'clock with prasadam at the end. So the whole program is like a capsule, is a perfect solution, and it solves all the problems. So that is the best solution. But if you cannot do it, at least you can feel yourself inadequate and hanker for it, that why am I not able to do it? I should be doing it. This is Prabhupada's order. He wants me to do it. The full bhakti yoga process. Chant very carefully 16 rounds. Perform kirtan, harinam sankirtan. Hear Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. Have sadhu sangha, have nice prasadam with devotees. All of these things, Prabhupada wants me to do it. Why am I not doing it fully? And I'm cutting corners. That one can feel some, that I'm not perfect. I'm not perfect yet, or I'm not good enough. I'm lacking something. I should try to do it according to Prabhupada's desire. That devotee, you know, even though he may be struggling with his job and business or whatever, so Prabhupada wanted all the devotees to become the leaders, and he gave the formula for leadership. Now, as much as the devotee can take it up, the better it is. Those devotees who are able to do it, they are the most fortunate devotees. And those who can't do it, they should be hankering for it. The ultimate goal is to achieve the happiness of Prabhupada. How to make Prabhupada happy? By your service, by your loving devotional service that Prabhupada is teaching. By your chanting, the way Prabhupada is teaching, the chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra, by learning how to chant Hare Krishna properly, how to study Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam properly, assimilate it in one's own life, and become a leader in the society. That is the goal of life, is to, you can make your family happy. Their family will be happy automatically. If you please Prabhupada, you think your family will be unhappy? No. So Grihastha, of course, he has so many responsibilities and he has to perform all his prescribed duties. But his main duty is to please the spiritual master. So he has to work hard and with diligence, with enthusiasm, how I can make my guru happy. All right. Yes, Prabhu.
I do have a question. Is it okay, though?
Yes.
A little late, but it's all right to...
Yes, yes. Okay. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I was listening earlier in the class. You mentioned about how, you know, by performing devotional activities, the heart becomes purified, mm-hmm. I think. And, you know, I see it. Like every day, practically, you come in early in the morning, pujaris, you know, come in, devotees come in to, you know, a lot of times they're still sleepy and, you know, they're maybe a little quiet and, but then after the service, you can see they're always, you know, everybody's happy, very clear, you can see that, you know, it's typically after dressing the deities or other services also. Their spirits are lifted and, you know, everyone just becomes happy, you know. And, you know, I was thinking, like in the Bhagavatam, where Sukadeva Goswami, he instructs Parikshit Maharaj about this process of prayaschitta, you know, atonement for sins, to purify one from sins, right? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, but... Parikshit Maharaj isn't satisfied with that answer and he inquires further and, you know, Sukadeva Goswami explains devotional service. Uh-huh. So what I was thinking is that, you know, we do become elevated after performing devotional service or even, you know, maybe going to India and taking part in festivals and all these different things. But then we could see, like, later in the day, we get into our other activities, and a lot of times we kind of lose that enthusiasm that we felt or that purification or enlivenment, you know, that we felt right after performing the activity. So my question is, like, what's the difference? If we perform a devotional activity and then we feel elevated, but then it wears off, like, you know, after coming back from India or... after attending the Japa retreat, or, you know, we felt so good doing it, but then, and what's the difference between that and the same thing of this prayaschitta, that you become purified from sinful reactions, but then you, you know, it doesn't stay, it doesn't last, you have to continually do it again. So what's the difference between...
The discussion that you are addressing from Srimad Bhagavatam about the prayaschitta, and in that description there is this example of the elephant taking the bath in the water, coming out and putting dirt all over again on himself, becoming dirty again. So that, how does it compare, that kind of prayaschitta, with the devotee attending the Sadhu Sangha program or going to Vrindavan and spending the month of Kartik and performing all kinds of nice vratas, chanting Hare Krishna, Japa Mala, Kirtans, Bhagavatam, Bhagavat Katha, for a whole month is absorbed all the time in the holy spiritual atmosphere of the holy dham. He has sadhu sangha and he has the association of the holy name, Krishna Katha and Krishna Naam. So he is fully, thoroughly absorbed and happy. He comes back and then this enthusiasm and everything wears off. And again he is in the samsara and his routine activities. So the difference is definitely there. The prayaschitta that are mentioned in Bhagavatam, the procedures, they are Vedic rituals and they do not have anything in common with the performance of devotional service. There's a difference of day and night. Even a little bit of your devotional service that is performed, it is going to save you. It is going to give you another chance, another opportunity to perform pure devotional service. So that is the nature of the bhakti, pure devotional service. So therefore, as much as one can remain on this pure devotional platform, just like when you are in the temple room, you are a pure devotee. Because you are associating with the deities, you are associating with the devotees in the kirtan, in the katha, in bhagavatam, etc. So you are, technically, you are a pure devotee because you are absorbed in Krishna consciousness in the temple room. You're participating wholehearted. And when you go outside and you become engaged in some kind of materialistic activities, then you may think that I fell down from my pure devotional platform. I was so happy in the temple room, chanting and dancing in ecstasy. And now, look at me, poor wretched soul. What am I doing? So, the devotee, he may go back and forth like that in the beginning stages. But Prabhupada is recommending that one should lift himself up and always be engaged in pure devotional activities. That is the ideal situation. Whatever activity you do it as a devotional service to Krishna. Nothing else. Whatever activity you do, I'm doing this activity to please my spiritual master. Nothing else. There's no other purpose in my life. So when he becomes resolutely determined to serve the Guru and Krishna, to make Guru and Krishna happy, then he can remain even inside the temple or outside the temple, wherever he goes, he can remain in ecstasy, in full happiness, serving the Guru and Krishna. So that is what Prabhupada is saying, that always remain on the pure devotional platform. Don't go back and forth. Sometimes material, sometimes spiritual, sometimes material. Again, I am absorbed in material activities. What a wretched soul I am. I'm a sinful living entity. I'm so low class, man. I was so happy in the temple room. Now, why did I do this? So he goes back and forth like that for some time. But then he has to become steady and remain on the pure devotional platform all the time. That is the formula Prabhupada is giving. Alright? Yes, Prabhu.
Two things. I was listening to a lecture of Srila Prabhupada this morning. And Prabhupada was saying that the perfection of all of this is to get free from the cycle of birth and death. And he was talking to some leading people in Delhi, and he was saying, "Look, you're a prime minister today, but tomorrow you may not know what you will be." But here's my question. You know, earlier you were saying that if you just practice this, you're a grihastha, everything will be fine. But we see in Prabhupada's own life, it wasn't fine. His wife hated it. She wouldn't attend his preaching programs. She would stay upstairs in her house, locked in her room. His business went bankrupt. Practically Prabhupada's material life at a certain point was just miserable. So, you know, when you say that everything will be fine, everything will be good, your family, everything will work out if you're Krishna conscious, but we don't see that in Prabhupada's life.
Yeah, in Prabhupada's case, it did not happen like that, that he didn't have a very happy married forever, or what did they say? Married and happy all the time? Unto death.
Happily ever after.
Happily ever after. Married happily ever after. So he didn't have that. So there are different kinds of examples. Bhaktivinoda Thakur had that. He was married happily. And even then, he, at the last 4 years, he secluded himself from his own family and from everybody else. He completely became absorbed in the worshipping the holy name. So that is there. But in Prabhupada's case, See, because the devotee is totally dedicated to fulfill the desire, the mission of the spiritual master arranges everything. Because he's working as an instrument in the hands of the guru. So therefore, Bhaktisiddhanta arranged that his family life will fall apart. And he will, because he has to do the most wonderful mission of the Lord that nobody else can do in the whole history of mankind. And so he has to come to America, he has to do all these things, and he has to become free from his family life. So the Guru and Krishna, they are running the show, they are arranging everything for Prabhupada. It's not like Prabhupada planned like this or that. No. He just planned one thing, that I want to make my Guru happy. That's all. That's my plan. And he worked on that plan all his life. So Krishna was arranging everything for him.
Young people, you know, that I've spoken with, they kind of doubt this. You know, they say, okay, that may be the case with Srila Prabhupada, but like in ISKCON, more than half of the marriages end in divorce. And they seem to feel that, you know, the process of Krishna consciousness doesn't create a healthy family atmosphere. It creates rather a lot of conflict. And, you know, with this idea, no, I must serve my guru, I must serve the deities. Well, what about your kids? I mean, that was a court case that came up even in our movement. So the question is that, you know, when we speak about, okay, we're giving the example, Prabhupada's guru made his family life, destroyed his family life so that he could take a higher service to Krishna. That's the point you're making. So the question then comes to young people that are coming to this movement, is it, you know, is that the case? Is that the case with all of these divorces? Is that the case with all of the dissatisfaction that we see? You know, the reason people aren't coming, the reason people are, you know, more or less leaving their families. Even many of our leaders, you know, they leave their families and they go and, you know, take sannyas or do whatever in the name of surrendering to the guru, but the family is suffering and struggling.
Every case is different, every situation is different. If the divorce is taking place, then Prabhupada was not in favor of divorces, first of all. He did not like the idea. So that is the number one thing. But in any case, if it happens, then it happens. And even though it should be avoided by all means, because the children of the divorced family, they suffer the most. They take the brunt of the whole disaster, and their lives are very bad. So divorces are bad in that, in every way divorce is a bad situation, but especially for that. So unless and until the children are grown up and responsible, the couple, devotee couple, should not even think of divorce. Because they have taken the responsibility to deliver not only themselves, but the children also. So the children should be given the training and education in Krishna consciousness. And when they are okay, then the couple can go for vanaprastha, or the man can go for sannyas, etc. That is I would think that is the proper way to deal with a situation. If somebody tries to do it prematurely, then I don't know. That is between him and his Guru Maharaj. Whatever the direction he can get from his spiritual master, or she can get from his spiritual master, because now he is, you know, these are the general guidelines that once you enter into the Grihastha Ashram, you perform all your duties of Grihastha Ashram very properly. There's going to be challenges, there may be disagreements, those things can happen between two people, husband and wife, for sure. It'll happen. But you have to survive those onslaughts of all these things that are coming up, and make life more in the service of Krishna. You have to take your family with you. It's a big responsibility, and even bigger responsibility is Imagine for the temple president, now he has to not manage one family, but he has to manage so many families' responsibility. Or a guru who has so many disciples, now he has to manage the lives of so many devotees. So the responsibility increases more and more. And once you take the responsibility, you cannot give it up. You have to think twice or three times or 100 times before taking the responsibility. Once you take that, then take it seriously and sincerely and follow through and complete it nicely, then enter into another project. So that is the general guideline. But if somebody wants to, finish it up and divorce his wife, then that's something he's taking on himself, and he should consult his own Guru Maharaj.
See, on the flip side, some of the devotees are saying that, let me take vanaprastha, why should I take vanaprastha or sannyasa? I'll just take care of the family my rest of my life. In other words, my responsibilities never end. Now it's my kids, now it's my grandkids, now it's my mother, now it's my family, now it's my pet dog. It's always something, you see. So it seems like at a certain point, you have to wind it up. But it seems that the material energy never winds it up. The material energy winds it out.
See, in that case, the general guideline is already there. And we see that in Prabhupada's case also, that when you are around 50, that it is very high time to get serious about Krishna consciousness, although you may still have some family responsibilities if you do. Then you may have to carry on. But you have to prepare for the next stage and be ready and depend on Krishna's mercy and Guru's mercy. And you have to understand that life is short. The duties are there. I perform my duties. But now is time for me to become more serious and take up fully the cause, the mission of my Guru Maharaj. The family responsibilities were there. I raised my family nicely. Now I'm 50 or 55. Now I have to prepare for becoming fully absorbed in the mission of my Guru and become fully absorbed in chanting the holy names, become fully absorbed in Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. These are the priorities. This Prahlad Maharaj says, Kumaro Acharit Pragya, that you should do this at a very early stage. But never mind, I'm already 50, I'm late, but better late than never. So that's like it's an urgency after 50. It's not like you can prolong it and say, I want to remain Grihastha and till my pet dog dies, I can't give him up. It's not like that. There's no recommendation like that. You have to understand that your own life, janma sarthak kari kar par upkar, that is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's order. You first become fully Krishna conscious. That is the priority. At whatever stage you understand, whether you are 5-year-old or 50-year-old, as soon as you understand, I have to become perfect devotee first. Then I can help my family. Then I can help somebody else. So you take it up as an urgency. And at 50, it is very high time. 50, 55, you should become very serious about these issues. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.
Srimad Bhagavatam ki, jai. Oh, Premanandi.